Kevin, there's a theory that would say that in Revelation, when it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, is that God will recreate the earth in its perfection like it was originally created. And that will be...
like it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
But that's not in heaven, though. Is it in heaven?
A new heaven and a new earth.
Just a new earth and a new heaven.
So there's a theory out there that we could move back and forth from heaven to the new earth. I don't know.
And we are told that we will reign. He will give us jobs. He'll give us jobs again because we're going to rule over the new earth. So we're going to have jobs again. It's not like we're just going to sit around and do nothing. We're going to be doing things.
In our flying cars.
Can we get
in a perfect state, which we can't imagine. So just imagine that.
There'd be no money.
We might not need any money. We'd be at the tree of life forever there. You know? But let's go on to the lesson tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about the Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel.
Yeah. Tonight's lesson is where God remembers Noah. They're stuck on the ark, and we talked about that they only had one little window, and this window was described where we don't even know if they could look out the window during the storm, you know, and see the storm waters and see the bodies floating and, you know, things like that. We don't know, but we talked about, you know, that God built at a certain size, that God's grace was there because he waited all the way up to the very end, and God was the one who closed the door. It wasn't Noah who closed it and said, all right, I'm tired of this, I'm going on and I'm closing there. No, God was waiting all the way up, maybe is showing God's heart that he wanted to give as much time as possible for the people to repent and say, God, I accept, can I get on the ark? You know, but God is the one who closes the door, extending God's grace. And now tonight we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to talk about the Tower of Babel and how God dispersed mankind throughout the whole world. Because that was the command back in the Garden of Eden when they said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So they were told to go to the whole world at that time. And so here we are. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis 8. We're going to go 1 through 4 first. And when you got it, someone go ahead and read those first four verses.
God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the wind subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the earth were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountain of Ararat.
Okay, so first verse, what does it say? But God what?
Remembered.
Oh, it almost gives the impression here that God kind of forgot about them. So they're floating around for 40 days and 40 nights, the storm's going, and God's like, oh, wait a minute, they're still out there. That's not what happened. God knows everything, right? But the way it's written, it almost gives the impression that, oh, God, and God remembered. Now, we know that God remembered him all the time because God commanded them to go on the ark, right? But if someone was reading that for the time, well, wait a minute, did God forget about them? No, he did not forget about them. That's not in the lesson. That's something that stood out to me. But he remembers that all the animals, and they're on the ark, and it says then that he sent a wind to blow across it. What does that tell us about God?
He controls...
Yes, he controls all the elements, rain, fire, wind. He controls all that. So he sensed the wind, so... God either spoke or he just moved his hands, whatever, but the winds began to blow across the face of the earth. In Psalms 147, it says that he causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. So 147, verse 18, tells us that. And again, backing up that God says, when he says something, it happens. And we know that in the New Testament, too, that he can calm the storms. That he, you know, when they were on the boat, that God can calm the storms. All right, 14 through 19.
By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and the creatures that move along the ground. so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the land, came out of the ark, one kind after another.
Okay, so God says what he always does, what he said he's going to do, and caused the flood, he caused the thing to go on. And one of the things, too, I'll point out, too, in verse 13 that we didn't read, it says Noah was now 601 years old. So he was 600 years when he built the ark, and a year passed. Somewhere in between there, he had his birthday. Maybe he was on the ark when he had his birthday, I'm not sure.
But if you look up there, kind of on the map here, it shows a picture of where Mount Ararat is in that position. So somewhere up there, I don't know, I think a while back someone said they found a picture of the boat or the ship, you know, as in a fossilized up on the mountain somewhere. They, you know, when these satellites, who knows if it's true or not, but you Google that, and maybe you, it might be true. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's the real.
Turkey won't let you go up there.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, in Turkey when we get later on, there's a section in Turkey where you are not allowed to go on a specific mountain.
Yes,
it is guarded.
Did they say why?
You're talking about something different.
That is something different, but we'll get to that. But there are certain things that Turkey.
You are correct.
Mm-hmm, they won't even.
That there are areas. There's all kinds of theories, and one of the areas is that Turkey won't allow you to go on where there's supposedly proof that they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why. If you ask,
we don't know that.
It's theory.
Yeah, it's a theory.
Okay. Why don't you learn to speak Turkish?
But there will be another, as we get later on in some of the lessons in this the next few lessons down the road, when we start getting into Moses and the mountain, there is another mountain, and maybe I'll post it if mm-hmm. I can find it, where you're not allowed to, and there's some theories behind that, why you can't go on that mountain still.
What happens if you do?
You want to try? Go right ahead.
No, I'm not going to try. Uh-uh.
I have no idea.
I'm just curious.
But you get checked. So when we say that God says he's going to do something, what does that really tell us about? I mean, I'm not looking for that he is God and he's all controlling. Yes, we know that. He's sovereign. He's everything. Yeah, he's the keeper of his word. But what else does this tell us about God? It's one of his characteristics.
Which one?
When God says that I will do something and he always does what he says he will do, what does that tell us about God?
He's truthful.
He's truthful?
And honest.
Honest? You can rely on them. So what would be another word that we would use for relying on something?
Dependable.
Trusting. How about faithfulness?
Yeah.
Faithfulness. And that's the word I'm looking for. All those other words were correct too, but I was looking for the word faithful. That God is faithful, and that he always said, and that doesn't change. It doesn't change because he said it here, and now, you know, 6,000 years later from creation, that's going to change. No, God says he's going to be faithful. So As you look at that, who was some of the eyewitnesses to this event? That you could base that, you know, that this event, the flood really happened, you know, it wasn't just some, this is not just a story that was thrown in a book. I mean, how do we know this is really true?
The Bible says so.
I love that answer, Kevin. The Bible says so. Because we're studying this as history and God's word to us, right? So who was the eyewitness?
It's God.
God, that's right. God was the eyewitness. And so God himself said to the author of Genesis, write this in there. I want people all around the world to know this. So God is true. Why did God choose man to write this down?
So that we could know about what he did.
So you can know about what he did.
So we have a record.
What happens if you start, we talked about this before, what happens if we start something over here with Barbara and go all the way to Vince on that side?
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. He doesn't get, so God wanted this written down so it doesn't get twisted by passing it down just by verbal communication over and over. And that's how they did it for many years. It just verbally passed on. But eventually, as they began to document things, so that it would continue to stay in writing.
And other parts of the world, too, have flood caricatures, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Atlantis.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it goes on and on.
Yeah. China's picture of their picture that you draw out for the word flood is a boat with eight people.
Now, China has supposedly got the oldest language, that, you know, something like that, one of the oldest languages that you can study, one of the things like that, that, you know, studies with pictographs. That's what they use.
It's kind of interesting how Venice is gradually going underwater.
Who?
Venice, the city of Venice. The city of water, where the cities are surrounded by water. Every year, the water level goes up.
Interesting.
And eventually, there's going to be no Venice. Because as it goes up, the land sinks.
Oh, well, we're going to find out here in a minute, but what God promised about that. So, Venice might go under, but I know we're all not going to go under.
Yeah, and the tectonic plates in California are constantly going, and eventually they're going to break off and sink.
Wipe everybody into the ocean.
Not everybody.
Oh, just California.
Some parts. Okay. Some parts. Some parts. Geographically, we're learning about some.
Interesting. Any thoughts?
And, like, for me, God seems kind of mad, because if he's controlling the land, the air, the earth, there's all kinds of just things he's destroying on purpose. Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis.
Well, what does anybody else think about that?
If he
Do you think God's literally destroying the earth?
Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to send a message.
I don't think
You think he's trying to send a message?
Oh, I'm going to destroy this just because. No.
Well, do you think it goes back to the Garden of Eden?
Go ahead, Sherry. Speak up.
He's allowing it to happen, but he's not causing it to happen.
Well, what happened? What in the Garden of Eden that God said would happen when they ate of the fruit?
When they ate of the fruit?
They would die, right?
Yeah.
And from that point on, we know that we talk about, we don't know if they didn't have dandelions, but things began to change in the earth, and death approached. So this earth, not only ourselves as people, but this earth, that's why you lose hair every day. Your body, your stuff dies, falls off.
We smell too.
But there's consistent death all around us. But there's death everywhere. And so even the earth, the Bible talks about that the earth is groaning, waiting for the Lord to return with his deliverer. And so the earth itself is longing for that. And when that happens, that means things like platelets, you know, tsunamis and stuff like that. We have to recognize that so oftentimes people will say, well, yeah, that's God sent his judgment. And that can be. It can be part of that. That God sent in reminders. Hey, I want you to know you need to turn back to me. Those are all things there. But it's also a natural part of the sin that happened back in the Garden of Eden, that things happen because of that, because those things entered. Because before that, there was none of that. There were no tsunamis. They didn't even have rain. But now we're seeing this whole thing, you know, come through.
That's kind of good.
I sort of like to think through it this way, that when sin happened, a chain of events was put into motion. And that wheel, that ball, whatever you want to call it, as a symbol is moving, and it's continuing. And a part of that is that part of that wheel is the earth dying. And a part of that death process is catastrophic events on the earth. And that wheel is put into motion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moving. But God still has the power, and we see this through Scripture over and over again, God still has the power to intervene.
Yeah.
He can still control.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so to otherwise, if you would say that God chooses everything, that means every single bad thing that happens, we could blame God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way I characterize it in my mind.
And that's what the questions that happen though too. People say when a bad thing happens, well, why did God allow this?
Yeah.
Or why, you know, why did God do that?
And the question would be, why didn't God intervene?
Correct. Yes.
And which he could.
That's kind of what I'm getting at is, yeah, it's the reaction of sin, things are happening, but more and more are occurring. There's more earthquakes.
The snowball coming downhill as it builds up speed.
Exactly. Yep.
And that is correct.
Suicides.
That's biblical.
You know, and to me, that's kind of God sitting back, looking at it, and saying, "I'm going to allow this to happen because I want you to know I'm coming in a dramatic way."
I wish we would rechange that word "allow."
I see what you're saying.
Because it's almost that makes it implies that God. It might be a different word to use there, but when you say something like, "Well, Matt allowed that to happen," that means he didn't really care because he didn't intervene.
Guilty.
You know, and so it implies that God doesn't care when those things go on. When you say, "Well, God allowed 9/11," or God allowed the tsunami in Haiti and the earthquakes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yes, God could have intervened in stopping that, but God just didn't allow. He did allow it, so that may be a correct word in using it. But I would love to see a different word used in something like, because God cares about the people very deeply that are affected by those things that take place. And oftentimes, I wonder if it's not so much His church here, and how much we have the ability to affect. The heart of God in pleading for things like that. And maybe that's a sign for us as a church to plead more with God to intervene on those things. And but anyways, let's see what happens here. So Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Let's see what Noah does.
Now, before you jump ahead, I just want to, the question of dinosaurs all that. Did you guys talk about that in relation to the flood and the fossils and all that stuff?
We didn't cover a whole lot of that. We didn't talk about dinosaurs. That didn't come up really, but we had where the flood levels, the waters covered the, remember, anybody remember how high they went to higher than the highest mountain?
Right.
They found fossils on top of mountains.
Yeah, but how many feet it told
22.
Us? How much?
22.
Yeah, something like that, right? 20. It went to the highest mountain, which is right now we know as Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it went another
22.
So it's like, well, why did God have to fail? Do you think people really were at the top of that mountain? They didn't get to the top of that mountain. Why did God completely cover the whole earth?
Every living thing
had to be completely wiped off. And so there was living stuff living at the top of them mountains at that time. Whatever it was, bugs, whatever. I mean,
wow.
And God had to go up, and He went higher than that yet. And so that's where you get fossils, where you do find fossils at those higher elevations of things that get buried in there. Sherry?
These ladies had a question about the sea creatures.
The what?
Like the sea creatures and stuff. They were living. They were on the earth. Did they?
What happened to the sea creatures?
Yeah, what happened to the sea creatures?
Because they're already in water.
Well, that's a good question.
They would have almost had to in order to still be alive.
Well, we do know that some of the fossils that are found up in the higher elevations and stuff as they, you know, run across them are of fish and things that did die. So we do know that they did die. But we do also know that there are fish still around today because you go fishing or eat it in the market. So God didn't go back down and recreate. The Bible doesn't tell us that He went and said, all right, now more fish. So we do know that some of the fish had to survive. What amount? I don't know. And what species? I don't know.
That
may be a cop-out answer for you. But
well, no, I think it's a legitimate answer. I think what the question is just simply a logical one, that fish would have survived and fish were not on the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says land animals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So fish would have survived, or sea creatures would have survived. And but one thing that is essential in talking about the flood is recognize this: that this was a catastrophic earth event. It wasn't just rain.
Mm-hmm.
And water.
The water came up from underneath,
but the earth broke open. Yep. And
okay.
So there is, you know, all of this geological stuff that's out there that tie the earth to millions and millions of years old can be explained through a catastrophic flood event.
Mm-hmm. The Grand Canyon is a perfect example of that. I mean, if the Grand Canyon was a flat plain at one time, and the earth broke open, and your water and everything, when it receded, it's going to do some pretty damage. You watch how much water rushes over a rock face over a period of time. Well, you got millions and millions of gallons of water. You imagine how, I don't even know if it's feasible to calculate. I don't know if there's many studies where that's done, where you calculate how many gallons of water it would have taken to cover the entire earth higher than Mount Everest, if that was the highest mountain at that time. Mount Everest could have been formed from, there might have been higher mountains yet at that time, and Mount Everest became the highest point at that point when the waters receded. I don't know. But we look at Mount Everest because it's the high, one of the highest mountains in the world. You were going to say something, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking, okay, maybe the sea creatures didn't survive. I don't know, back then, if they had salt water or fresh water, and you mix the two.
Yeah. Salt. Well, we don't know if it was salt. We do know that the Bible says oceans. He separated the depths of the oceans, and you know when he created them. But yeah, it could have different things. All right, Genesis 8:20 through 22.
Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done.
Mm-hmm. All right, where did Noah know how to make the sacrifice? Why would he build a sacrifice?
Maybe kind of to give back to what God gave him.
Yeah, but this goes back to a couple of lessons ago
when he was
forgetting him through.
Right, and then when he had him bring the animals on the ark, mm-hmm. he told him to bring more.
Ah, right. He told him to bring certain amount of a certain type of animal so that you could sacrifice, right? So here's where this would be the first time in Scripture we actually have where God actually said, you build a sacrifice. Now, we always said, well, how do you know that God told them to offer sacrifice like Cain and Abel when it came the time of the year to offer their sacrifice?
Right.
Because we didn't have any record. We have this record. So God obviously told them, here he is, and he even tells them, now make sure you take them animals on the ark so that you can sacrifice. So at the end, Noah is sacrificing. And why did God require of those that came to him to bring the blood of animals? Why did he give that command?
For Noah to do it?
Yeah. Why did he tell him to make sure he takes so many animals of clean animals on the ark to offer sacrifices? What's God wanting them to remember?
I don't know. When I hear it, I don't know. But when I hear it, it's almost like a way that he's thanking him for providing.
Well, he was offering a blood sacrifice as a way of thanking God and trusting him. But there's a reason God just said to offer the animals.
He wants them to remember that death is a penalty for sin.
And as a penalty for sin, as a payment for sin. Right, exactly. He wants to remember that the payment of sin is death. And so that's the reason he wanted them to offer that. Why couldn't the blood of the animals pay for their sins, though?
Because it's not Jesus.
Who?
It's we don't know who he is.
Jesus.
I don't know who he is.
You don't know.
Not long yet.
Devil
was that. We don't read anything about him. That dude.
What is the payment of sin?
That's the death.
Death. And that payment of sin of death is an everlasting what from God?
Separation.
So would that blood, if I went and killed an animal in that blood, would that pay for that separation? That remember the gulf that separated man on that picture? Would that amount of blood cover that and make the bridge come back? No, cannot. So then as God, why did God accept Noah and his family if the blood animals did not pay for the sin?
Grace. Mercy.
Uh-huh. Goes back to that scroll, the grace and the mercy. And because, what were they doing? This is where, remember, Noah was considered a righteous man. Remember we talked about, is the two words that we talked about that which were righteousness. The easy phrase to remember. Right living, you know, being obedient. So here is Noah, And God told them, all right, you offer these sacrifices. And Noah and them were being obedient. Because they came to God and he taught them and trusted them to send them a deliverer. So they were basically following, and that's what righteousness is right living. And so their faith, trusting God to send a deliverer, and then God said, offer the sacrifice, it's going to cover your sins, the penalty, that death, that one day that deliverer comes. They were, in essence, exercising righteousness. And so, let's read Genesis 9:1-7. And here's what God does. We know he offered up the sweet aroma.
So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all of the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it.
Okay. So he says to repopulate the earth. And why could God give them dominion over all the animals and everything?
Because he created them.
That's right. He created them. So he created, and everything that he created belongs to him. Everything that God made belongs to him. Now, I find it very interesting. It's not covered in this lesson, but in here, we have God giving, almost as if he was back in the Garden of Eden again with Adam and Eve. Now, he didn't say it's going to be a perfect world. He didn't say anything was going to be perfect. And if you don't eat of the tree, but God gives them a set of commands, just like he gave Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't eat of the tree of life, or eat of the tree of life if you want to, but don't eat of the tree of good and not evil, right? Here we got God giving them a set of commands again. He says, if anybody kills somebody, life's going to be taken because a man's created in God's image. So I'm giving you some things, some basic commands for them to follow and live by. And here God is once again helping, again, establish the groundwork for how he wants his people that follow him or live with him to live. You would think it would be pretty simple, right? They just experienced this whole entire flood and saw all these, if our numbers are right, and based off today, 7 billion people wiped off the face of the earth, you know, at that time. Yeah, that's pretty traumatic. Did I say that right? Traumatic. Not traumatic. Traumatic. Anyway, it's a very traumatic experience. To hear the people screaming as the flood waters, and then that goes away. Maybe they didn't hear it because the storm was so loud and God spared them from that. But in my mind, when you hear millions of people dying, to me that's going to be pretty traumatic. But in this case here, so God again goes through and he goes and does this. Now, 8 through 17. Because he doesn't stop there.
Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth.
Hmm. So, what's the covenant? The
rainbow.
The rainbow, right? And it wasn't just with that.
No.
Huh?
That's not the covenant.
Or
that's the symbol of the covenant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, or the symbol. I should have said the symbol. Yeah, what's the symbol? The rainbow, right?
Right.
Like, what are you... Okay, yeah. The symbol. But who's the symbol for?
That's for...
I don't think so. Read it again.
For him to remind
and
him.
God remembers.
It's for God. So I look at the rainbow and I'm like, wow, isn't that cool? God said he never flooded the earth before anymore again with a flood. I look at it and say, yeah, that's what God. But God didn't put the rainbow there for us to remember. It was there for him. And I find that very, very interesting that God wants to be reminded. That's how much he loves people. That he's reminding himself again to prolong that grace all the way out through because of the rainbow. What does that make you feel like?
I always think about, like, you ever think he regret you ever saying that? Some of the stuff for 6 years, and just like he said he regretted when he did the play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. Like he regretted that he made man, and yeah, and then I don't know if it got it, but he put that reminder there for a reason, and it's for himself. Yes, I love looking at rainbows, and I think it's really cool, and we take pictures of rainbows, and sometimes you can always see a full rainbow, and then sometimes you see double rainbows, and my mom's always over there in Hawaii posting these pictures on Facebook of double rainbows that she sees outside her window, and they're beautiful, and it's like, man, but the rainbow wasn't for us. It is a symbol, but it's for God to remember.
So I'm telling something to remember. Is he forgetful?
Is he forgetful? No, he's not forgetful. He just wants to remind himself over and over again of what took place. And I think that's because he loves people so much that he's willing to do that. And later on, you also have these reminders throughout Scripture. But I think that's it's a pretty cool thing when you read it.
It's a really interesting point, though, John, because that is something. Well, wait a minute. If God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all this stuff, why in the world does he need a reminder?
Mm.
But there's an aspect of God that is that, because we also see God later on, we'll read that a man debated with God and changed God's mind. God changed his mind. And so we have this, we have this picture of this all-knowing, all-powerful God, but yet we have a God, the picture of a God who needs reminders, who man can actually influence a decision. So it's an interesting side of the character of God. Let me just leave it.
I would say, because it's really hard to grasp that.
But to me, it's very comforting.
Yeah,
because it's like well, I can identify with needing a reminder.
We do that all the time. Put a reminder on your phone for your calendar or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's almost like,
or you do reminders of your house. What do you put on your walls?
Calendars,
pictures of family moments and time, and you is a reminder. Oh, that took place.
The other thing is, yeah, that's a really good illustration, actually, Matt, because we put pictures of our family on our wall, but we don't really forget our family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just good to see them.
Yep.
So all the millions and millions of people that were destroyed in the flood, their souls and spirits, did they go to Satan? Did they go to heaven?
That's a very good question.
They were all bad, I guess. I don't know.
If they were all bad, I would assume that they went to where, place where God is set aside for Satan, reserved for Satan and his angels.
What if they repented during the flood? Like, what if they realized what they were doing and saying, I see what you're doing, I see you.
It's a very good question.
I have one response to that, Scott. One response. And we could sit here and debate what actually happened. Could they repent and all that?
Right.
But the response, I really like the way you asked that question. Because you asked that question with a lot of thoughtfulness and with a little bit of soberness.
Mm-hmm.
Did I detect that in your way of answering?
Right, yeah.
It's a little sobering.
Yeah.
And we better leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever forget.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a sobering thought.
Mm-hmm. It's a big number.
Big number.
Let's read the next two verses, 18 and 19.
Sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham came from the pig. These were the three sons of Noah. And they came from, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth.
Now we're going to skip chapter 10. If you want to read that tonight or sometime this next week, it begins to list all the descendants of these three men and their families. So it begins to list all their families and how that begins. Yeah, there's just so many names, and then it begins to talk about the different places that they began to build buildings and cities and the whole nine yards there. So you can begin to see that. And why did God put that in there? He didn't really have to tell us all these people. He could have just said, out of all these three men came to everybody on the earth.
They should have cared enough to know who they were.
Well, care enough to know who they were.
It's
a record, right? We keep record of our family tree, right? You can go back and look, and sometimes, maybe, some families do it more than others. Doctor went at the hospital with my wife this week. They asked her, so does your family have any of these diseases? Well, don't know. You know, some of them you could answer, some of them you couldn't. But, you know, there's things like that.
So Matt, I have a question before we move on with anything. How did Cain and Abel or Adam and Eve's kids, did their wives come from?
Where did their wives come from?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that a little bit way back in, that they would have had more than just those two children, but God listed those two. In there. Sometimes there's theories out there that they would have had, because it was a perfect world at that point and the DNA structure or bodies and things hadn't come where they are, I mean, they would have probably married their sisters at that time. You know, it wouldn't have been disease or cross disease at that time. Yeah. I don't know if that answers your question, but I mean, or cousins down the road, you know, that type of thing. Yep, it's hard for us to picture that today because, you know, I'm not going to marry my sister. And in matter of fact, if you do today, I mean, that's one of the reasons why the AI DuPont Hospital is there, because they married within themselves and the family to keep the money in. And disease came about out of that, and hence they said, hey, we're going to build a hospital to fight this disease. And now you've got a hospital for children that fights disease, but that's because they married within themselves Yeah. And you'll see later on as you go through here, God commands his people later on in Scripture to only marry within themselves, within their royalty. Yeah, or whatever. And so when things happen like that, but that's what happens today. There's lots of diseases from families marrying within themselves to keep money, wealth, whatever, for whatever reason. All right, so we have that. We're right here on the timeline now, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and we're now getting ready to move into Genesis 11. And we're going to talk a little bit here as we end the lessons called the Table of Nations. That's the chapter 10, and now we're going into It's amazing what happens. So let's see what happens here. Genesis 11, 1 through 4.
Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth."
Mm. So we have now we have people once again who were what? Whose control were they under?
Disobeying God.
Ah, they're disobeying God, right? All right. And what did they know about God through all the creation around them? That just, you know, grew back up and over time.
What was your question?
What did they know about God through the creation that was around them?
He's living.
Yeah. Okay. And he's a creator and he's all powerful. What would they have known about God by hearing the stories that were told to them of what took place on the flood?
He can do it again.
He could do it again, but that he punishes what?
Sin.
What did they know about God whenever God saw his rainbow? Yeah, it was a reminder that God is faithful, that he would never again destroy it, so he's never going to destroy it. You know, how would they have known that? How would these people that were talking here known that?
They would have only heard about it.
You were correct. So, yeah, Kevin, you have a son, and
right.
You have a son, and you were part of the person on the boat, and you have a son. You're going to tell him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what I'd live through, yeah. You know? And you're here because of God's grace and what He spared our lives for. You're going to tell that.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're not going to just tell them. Oh, and so every time you see a rainbow, son, that's God reminding Himself never to destroy the earth again. You're going to tell them that. That's
yeah.
It's a pretty powerful thing when God speaks. You're going to remember something. And so you're going to pass that on. So these people here are descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and they're here building this thing, and they've dreamed up this thing. And what did they say they wanted to reach? They wanted to reach up to the heavens. Why? Why? Why would you want to go reach up to the heavens? It's nice down here.
They were living with
us. Ah, but they may be how they want to get to the Lord, or they said they wanted to become like what?
Like God.
Does it say they want to become like God?
No.
No, they didn't say that. What did they say?
It was a good job.
They didn't want to be what?
Tower.
They didn't want to obey what God told them, right? What did God tell Ham, Shem, and Japheth and Noah? Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, right?
Yeah.
Well, they said they wanted to stay in one spot, right? So again,
God
created them. Huh?
Yeah, Sherry, what she said.
What'd you say, Sherry? You're laughing so hard, you got to share it.
Stop.
Huh?
You said, why didn't they want to go to heaven? I said, well, they wanted to get high.
They wanted to get high.
Yeah.
Once again, we don't see Satan stopping since the flood. Satan's whole—I mean, 7 billion people—if that's true, 7 billion people. Using that theory, that if you use population levels like today, 7 billion people on the face of the earth, are his whole force, his whole realm, his whole kingdom is just wiped out by God. Now, you think Satan would give up? No, he didn't give up at all. He quickly got right back into the whole thing, and right away you got this whole thing here. And so in today's world, so they devoted themselves completely to building this huge thing. And matter of fact, there's documentaries done on this. If you go on and Google it, you'll find there's documentaries done about the ziggurats, if I'm not saying it right, over in Baghdad, Iraq, and things that are built, that they said, hey, this got... It got pretty tall, and it's possible that they got higher than some of our skyscrapers today, based off of the base formations that are there still. It got pretty tall, but here are these things, and so they devoted them. What do people devote to today in worship? or go after.
Make a name of themselves?
Oh, they're trying to make a name of themselves. I'm looking for things, though. Things you can physically see.
Their hobbies.
Hobbies, yep, okay.
Clothes.
Clothes, could be. Well, how about this list? Sports, attaining lots of material things, the horoscope. You know anybody who devotes themselves to following the horoscope? And I mean, these are things out there. And Satan is, he is extremely clever because he took it didn't take very long for him to get an entire generation, an entire people again, follow him. I mean, he was pretty quick about that. And so here he is. So these, they were beginning to, and if you study this or follow or read through the Tower of Babel and the city that they're building there, they were building not to worship God. They were there building it to a false idol. Okay? And let's read through there. Let me see if I can, I don't know if it'll give me the map. But
give me the map on the next one.
Babel, yeah, right here. So now we're right down here. So they moved from up there at Mount Ararat all the way down here to this area, Babylon or Babel. Okay, and that is today would be around modern day Iraq in that mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where they had moved. That's as far as they got. As far as populating the earth.
That's,
okay.
That's Iraq today?
Yes, yeah, Iraq is right Iraq. Here.
So, I don't know if I got a point.
Is that when they...
Oops. You can go back.
It says Iraq right there with the border.
Yeah,
right.
Sure does.
Yeah.
See, all right.
See, right to the left of that, that's Iraq. Iran's over here by media. Kuwait's down here below. But that's where they moved to and they began to build this tower.
Was that... when people started doing evil again after Noah, after they settled, was Iraq where it all restarted?
Well, that's where they moved to, or that's where they were building this tower. And they didn't want to go any further from there. They found that it was great. It was, this must have been a very lush, beautiful area, whatever. They right. decided to stay there, and that's, hey, we're going to stay here as a people. We're not going anywhere else. But that's not what God told them to do.
Is this when started going against God again? Is that where it is? Because of them being after Noah and after that?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that what you're asking, Kevin, is that I just read it here. Where was it? That it was the third generation.
How many generations it was?
It was a third generation. It was three generations till the Tower of Babel.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty typical throughout Scripture that to those who are faithful, by the third generation, they've lost it.
Were they in Iraq? That generation?
The Tower of Babel would have been in Iraq, yes.
It really interests
Persia
me
before
because
that.
Iraq is where ISIS
well,
is founded.
Yeah, you really can't go there
because
of the way it's modern day Iraq. It was that area, but that area you will see. Notice that Babel, the Tower of Babel, is where the city of Babylon is later on in history
mm-hmm.
in the Bible. And so that area has been a significant area of biblical history all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it still continues to this day as being, in fact,
it's one of those. It just really interests me.
It is an incredibly interesting area. It's an area I would love to go see.
Yeah.
They're rebuilding some of the Babylonian cities that were golden over there.
Wow.
And,
in Iraq.
That's, yeah, right. Today. Yeah, yeah. They're redoing some of that older historical stuff on with modern technology, obviously.
Right.
But,
yeah.
but I mean, it's still the same kind of.
When ISIS isn't blowing it up.
it just
we always like to think the world revolves around America. biblically, it revolves around the Middle East.
Right. And that's what interests me so much. Is this is where the third generation started going against, and that's also where you're starting to see the beheading of Christians be a common day thing. You know, if you go there and say, I'm a Christian, this is what I stand for,
you're a Mormon.
The first thing you're going to face is death.
Well, I would admit, let's read what happened. Verse 5, it says,
place.
The Lord came down and looked at the city and the tower of the people building. And he said, well, I'll stop there. So, what does that tell us about God? Again.
He's still watching.
He's still watching. And he's not going to stand by again and let something happen. Right? It's just to keep reiterating. In Proverbs, someone give Proverbs 15, verse 3. This is going to ask a question here, and then we're going to move on to 6 through verse 9. You would think. Yes, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the evil and the good. So God's all over. So God's getting ready to destroy him again, right? He's going to wipe out the whole earth.
No.
No, why? Because it is. He said he wouldn't, right? It's a covenant with man. So what does he do? He decides to take Satan and remove him. Say, okay, I'm going to move Satan. Get him away, and then that'll take care of my problem. No, he didn't say that. Let's go set 11, 6 through 9. Let's see what God decides to do.
In Proverbs?
Nope. Genesis.
The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Mm. But that's kind of like a plural. Let us go down.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
The angel?
No, go ahead. We'll keep right on reading. We'll come back to that.
Okay. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why they called it Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the whole face of the earth.
So now when you hear someone babbling on, blah, 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 blah. That's where it comes from, right?
It's coming out from the generations, yes.
It leaves you scratching your head at the end.
Now, let's go back to your question, Scott, where you said, it says, let us.
Come, let us go down.
Who do you think was talking here at this time? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Again, same back in creation, and it says, let us make man in our own image. They're talking amongst themselves.
Right.
And here we have this, again, they confer amongst themselves. Okay, well, what are we going to do? And he says, let's go down. Notice it uses the word Lord here, too. Remember after certain times we talked about that, we always talk about God, but then God's name changes in the thing to where it's Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the reasons why that, when we cover that. So here you'll start seeing that more and more, the Lord God. And in that whole thing there. So you have him. He decides to, instead of destroying them, he decides to now, let's throw a little curveball in there. And so can you imagine all these people, they go to bed at night, you're all talking at dinner, hey, tomorrow let's go up here onto this big old tower we're building. And the next morning they get up, and I turn to my wife, and we're talking in our language, and we go out, and I meet my brother, and he's talking something else, and I'm like,
what?
We look at each other like, what in the world's going on? I mean, you talk about home funniest videos, that has got to be one of the most funniest things that took place. I mean, can you imagine all of us sitting in this room here talking like this, and then all of a sudden, Vince starts talking in Spanish, Josh over there in Russian, you know, and we have no idea what in the world we're saying. Can you imagine the confusion? Nothing got done that day. Not even the newspaper got printed or anything. Nothing would have gotten done. There's been mass confusion. So finally, I go around and I through the town and I find someone else that speaks my language. Oh, I can understand him. All right, so we begin to, well, you know, what's going on about this? You know, I don't know. You begin to form a group, and then that group decides to move on
right.
to over here. And so the question at the beginning of the class was, how do we get all the nationalities? How do we get all this today? Here God had a plan, and he moves them all over the world. And from that point, they went to wherever they, you know, went on, even crossing oceans at that time to get to where we have today in a different language. Now, think about our language today. English is probably the most popular language in the world today. It's, you learn it everywhere. Again, going back to this whole thing, it's not like that would have been back then, but again, you're getting to that point where your languages are all over. Hence, that's why they teach second languages in high school, you know, so that you have a broader knowledge of the different languages around the world. But I just think it's pretty cool. Here's God, again, showing his grace and his mercy, rather than just saying, okay, look, I want to destroy the earth again with some other form. He says, no, let's try a different method here.
I'm going to point something out here. In our world today, what is the goal of humans?
A world goal?
To connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is done to break down territorial barriers, language barriers, working together. There's worldwide trade now. It is, and with that comes power.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably, one of the clearest examples of that would be the International Space Station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many years ago was it where Russia and U.S. were bitter enemies?
Exactly.
And now today they're working together, living together in space. And I'm just saying, when you see this and you see the natural progression of history, and if we could go into Revelation, into the end times, and see how God has said how this thing is going to end, what it's going to look like at the end, you can see the pattern of the way history
mm-hmm.
is moving.
Yep.
And it's
like
mirroring what God has said.
Like a one world order type of thing?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
One world rule. It is. So I look at this, and to me, it's just an extra confirmation that I can believe what is in this book, because history is confirming it over and over again. And I'll add one more caveat to this thing. You guys, America's all tore up about the immigration issue
mm-hmm.
right now. To me, I'm not saying it is, but I can see the hand of God in this, doing something just like he did in the Tower of Babel,
mm-hmm.
setting the stage for what is to come.
Yep.
It's not by accident. It's not by accident that suddenly America is opening the doors to all these people from nations that at one point we hated, we as in America.
Yeah.
So
country.
Now, I'm getting off on a bunny trail now,
right.
But I'm simply doing it to sort of to help us, you know, see the big picture. See,
thank you, Sherry.
Now shut up. Sherry got it. I'm done.
You had a question, Vince?
She gets it.
Do you think God did this for our protection? Because now that we had to scatter and not be so close to one another, it hindered Satan to,
be everywhere at one time.
I never thought about it like
exactly.
that.
I mean,
I like the way you think.
I don't know. I mean, I look at this as not a punishment. I look at it as this is something that here's yet again reveals something that God's beauty and glory is giving something new to us. Because, I mean, you look at all the languages that are in our world, and, I mean, I went to a Chinese church service, and they had, I mean, just the way they sing, it's just it's beautiful. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. That's why I like going to. That's why I like going to Brooklyn.
Kind of seemed to me it was more of a punishment at first, but then as I was reading this, it's could be looked at that it's a gift.
That's a really good point. I really like that. And this thing you're saying about God's punishment being a gift, that is repeated over and over and over in Scripture, where God punishes, but yet out of that punishment, something beautiful rises up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go right back to the punishment. What's the most beautiful? What's the most...
What's the greatest blessing.
The greatest blessing that God gave to man.
Mm-hmm. With death, yeah.
It's a punishment, but yet it's a blessing. And so... Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's really unique with our struggles too. You know, going through stuff, it's just like, why do I have to go through it? But then at the end of it, when you look back at yourself, you see what God did and what He's brought you to and who you've become. That's a greater person.
Struggles, biblical. Absolutely. You know, Bible talks about struggles. I can't talk, Matt. Please, Karen.
I want to end here with this. We'll maybe have some questions, but I want to end with this in Romans. 1:21-23. We talked about, we've used this one here before. And remember, God told them to go populate the earth. So part of His thing was He wanted to make sure that took place. And so, yes, He did this to split them up, to make sure that the earth gets repopulated again so that there's people throughout the world. But in Romans 21-23, it says, yes, they knew God, but they would not worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Okay? If we were to talk about each one of our picture of what God is like, it would be probably a little different. We would have a basic formula, basic principles that we're learning here about God. But they were thinking, they were coming up, beginning to think. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. That's what takes place when a people tries to become like God themselves. Okay, and that's why, and when we said, Vincent, you talk about punishment and how that's not necessarily maybe a punishment that God was issuing to them. That God wanted to split them up is because these people at this time were trying to become like God. They wanted to be like God. And so you see this in our world today where mankind wants to be God. And the more you are one, the more power is there. And whoever controls that has a lot of power. And that's a reminder for us that when mankind gets to that point, this is what is described, and what happens is you begin to turn. And how many times do we see, you can watch infomercials on TV or TV commercials where you have more and more people worshiping creation or the creator, you know, than actual people. In other words, taking care of people. So in other words, you'll have commercials out there for your pets. How many do you have feed the homeless or feed, you know, less and less of that? And more about animals, and so worshiping creation more than anything else. Further and further a society gets from God, then you're going to see more and more of it. Not that we shouldn't take care of creation, because God put us in the world to take care of His creation, but not worship it. You know, hold that higher than a human being. I'm going to turn this off, and that's it for the lesson for tonight. But if there's questions, you can...